All right. How's everybody doing? Mike Jeffers, Chicago Jazz Magazine, ChicagoJazz.com. We are live. I tested a few things out over the weekend, and I am hoping that this whole thing is live right now and everybody can hear me. So that's at least the plan of attack. So welcome to Monday, Quarantine Monday. We're still under the quarantine. A lot of fun. Actually, it's getting more serious out. We're supposed to all wear masks now when we go out into public areas. So hopefully everybody is abiding by that. How is everyone doing out there? Is everyone having a good time? Hopefully everybody had a good weekend. Wasn't a lot of happenings going on out and about, although there's a lot of stuff going on Facebook Live. I love it. And I'm telling you right now, there's a couple of videos. The one I'm going to mention, this is a side note, but Dan Nicholson, He's tearing it up. His wife Stephanie, Aaron, and they have a dog. And if you have not checked out his latest release, his dog sings along with him. His name is Cap. His dog's name is Oscar Peterson. Just look up Dan Nicholson on Facebook and check out. They did a rendition. Him and his dog. Him on saxophone. His dog Oscar Peterson sang along to the ABBA classic Dancing Queen. It is something not to be missed. And made my day. That was awesome. There's a couple other ones up there too. It's a classic. So Dan Nicholson, congratulations. You have found a niche and charge. It's classic. All right, I want to mention a couple of things here before I bring on my special guest, who is going to be James Sanders. He's going to be coming on, and we're going to be talking all about this new project that he has with drummer percussionist Sarah Allen, and he's got other projects too, including a live stream tonight that we're going to talk about. But in the meantime, we have got, Greg Spiro, great pianist. We had him on the cover of Chicago Jazz Magazine about a year ago. He came in when he was in town. We had him perform live in studio. We did a whole feature. All that stuff's on Chicago Jazz Magazine. But he does a regular weekly, daily show. Not like mine, because he actually plays piano and interacts with people, which is really hip. Greg Spiro, just check him out on Facebook every day at 10 a.m. Chicago time, 8 a.m. L.A. time. I believe that's the times that he's doing it. So check it out. He's live right now, but you want to stay tuned in here. You don't want to go over there. So that's Greg Spiro. Also coming up this Wednesday, Abigail Rickards and Jeannie Tanner, they are going to be doing their Desperate Measures concert series on their Facebook pages, Jeannie Tanner and Abigail Rickards. You can check that out. That starts at 7 p.m. on Wednesday. Of course, on ChicagoJazz.com, we've got all of the GoFundMes up and running. We've got everything happening that we know about. So if you know of other ones that we need to make sure that we have listed, hit us up, leave us comments. We're getting great comments. I'm almost thinking this week we're going to try it out. This week, I think we might actually do a call-in show. Just live call-ins. Anybody can call in. That could get interesting fast. I will preview this. We're going to have Andy Schumann tomorrow, the trumpet cornet player from the Fat Babies and the Cellar Boys and a myriad of the other groups. We're going to have him on. We're going to have a vocalist from Brazil coming on, I believe, on Wednesday. Why? She's going to be coming on to talk a little bit about that. We're also going to be talking to several other musicians, one from New Orleans, I think. I don't want to tell you what day yet, so I'll preview that tomorrow. And also our West Coast correspondent, Craig Pilo. Craig Pilo, a good friend of mine. He's been a friend of mine since 1993 or two. I don't know. I forget. I met him at North Texas, and he's still around, still talks to me. He's got lots of stuff going on. And he is going to be our West Coast correspondent here during the quarantine. So we're going to check in with him probably on Friday. So we got a whole, plus we have some other guests that I'm not going to announce yet, but it could get very interesting. So as usual. So without further ado, I know I've kept James on Skype here for too long listening to me pontificate. So let's bring James on. James, how are you?
Good. How are you doing, Mike? Good to see you.
Good to see you, man. It'd be better if we saw each other in person, but
yeah, that would, you know. But I appreciate you setting this up and keeping the community together. You know, that's really great. All that stuff you're mentioning.
Well, that's the main thing. You know, that's the whole purpose of doing this daily show, Chicago Music Revealed, is that so that we can kind of keep the community together, no matter what genre. That's why I'm calling it Chicago Music Revealed, because, you know, we're all kind of in this together. And when all the clubs are closed, all the venues are closed, all we've got to do, we've got to stay together. So when everything opens back up, we can have a big push, and we're all kind of in the same boat anyway. So we might as well connect, right?
Yeah. Yeah. It's interesting to see what's happening with everyone being so active on social media, all the streams and different concerts and things like that. So it's certainly a learning curve for all of us, you know.
Well, you know, it's interesting too, because you just put out this new recording, and it's audio and video, and it's of you. How did you guys do this? Because it's all remote, right? You guys did this.
Okay. I should say that Sarah and I actually did the recording session about a week before the quarantine set in.
Okay.
So what happened was, is that then we were supposed to meet with Steve Yates and do the video editing. So that part got done. And then, of course, Dennis Tusana mixed the tracks on his own and sent it to us with, you know, Dropbox. And I got the video files. So the first part of it, we were together for the studio session.
Oh, okay. I was super impressed. I was like, man, this is like happening, man. So what's the concept behind it? I mean, it's just you and drums, right? Violin and drums.
Yeah. So I'm doing a series of duets. It's a, you know, the current series is called Original Music for Drums and Violin. And, I just decided to do a different series of recordings with different Chicago-based drummers, you know. And so far we've got, you know, Ben Johnson, and then Avriel Ra, and now Sarah Allen. And actually, you were the first drummer that I ever played jazz with. So
that's right. Remember
we're
that?
Going to have to get you in the queue as well.
Now I'm playing interviews instead.
Yeah.
So you guys, so you put the project together just it's original music, right? I mean, that's the whole concept.
Yeah, it's original music. Yeah. So this track that's out this last week is called Dr. Love. And it was kind of inspired because I play in an orchestra, and Subramanian, the Indian violinist, came, Dr. L. Subramanian. And he, you know, he plays with two percussionists, you know, tabla player and another Indian percussionist. And, you know, the concert just blew me away, because I had been following him since when he was playing with Jean-Luc Ponty. You know, they did some stuff together. And so I just wrote this piece called Dr. Love, dedicated to Subramanian. And, you know, it's got some 5/8 in it and stuff like that. It's kind of like inspired, you know, by the Indian flavor. And so I'd been wanting to work with Sarah, and then we did another piece called Hawk 2.0, but by Doug Lostrom, and then we recorded Resolution, you know, Coltrane tune. Yeah. So we've got, you know, three tracks with Sarah.
It's really interesting. I mean, I listened to the tracks that you sent over, and it's fascinating to me, because I mean, it sounds full, but there's only violin and drum set. You know, what I mean? I was like, wow, man, this is like, you know, because I mean, sometimes you've heard that before, where it's like, you know, yeah, drums and saxophone, or drums and bass, or whatever, drums and
sure,
violin.
Yeah.
And it sounds thin, man, you know, but this sounds like really full. I mean, did you guys rehearse this stuff out? How often did you guys practice or play together to get that tightness?
Well, I had been playing with Sarah in this group called Doug Lostrom's in the New Quartet. And so Sarah and I have been working together in that context for maybe 20 years. Hmm. I'd also seen what she can do as a orchestral percussionist, because, she had done some orchestra concerts, and I've been contracting this orchestra for Harper Choir, and hire her to play timpani. And she's a great timpanist, you know, which is not an easy thing, because you really have to get a sense of timbre and balance and stuff to blend.
I'm well aware of it.
Yeah. Okay. All right. So I'm preaching to the choir then, you know.
That's
and so
hard.
when I saw that she had that in her playing, you know, I said, well, you know, it'd be really great to do something like this with her. And Doug's piece is wickedly hard, so we actually had to rehearse that a few times. But this one that I did, you know, came together pretty easily, you know.
No, it sounds great. And I mean, how long was this whole thing in the works to put this together? To me, it came out kind of at the perfect time, because of the video aspect of the whole thing. It like lends itself to what's happening in the world right now, you know. But how long did you know, kind of plan this whole thing out?
Well, you know, I talked to her about it, but probably, you know, once we decided to do it, it was probably took about 3 weeks because, you know, we had to get the studio date
Right.
set up and, you know, so, and Dennis does a good job down there at Soundmine. I don't know if you've been down there, but it's on Stony Island. And he's got a great setup there, and a lot of jazz cats are doing work there now, which is great because you know they've invested a lot in the studio, and he's doing good by a lot of people. So, but to get to your point, you know about you know drums and violin. I think the big challenge for being a violinist, you know, is figuring out, you know, how are you going to come across a rhythm section? You know, you have to amplify and so forth like that. And, you know, and it, I thought it'd be real nice to just do some stuff in the studio where the violin could just be in its own element, not going through amplification and so forth, you know.
Well, you play in so many different settings too, just in general. I mean, obviously you're a classical player, you play with symphonies, you play with string quartets, and then you move into the obviously the Latin group that we've had out at the Deer Park Jazz Fest for the past 3 years or two years, hopefully this year again. We got to talk about that. August, the first weekend of August, so that's like Conjunto. You guys are out there. That's Latin jazz, Latin. Well, it's Latin music. It's killing. It's salsa. It's everything. I mean, it's you get like 200 people going bananas in Deer Park every summer, so that's gonna be awesome.
Yeah, it's been a lot of fun.
And
I got to
then,
tell you a story about that too, at some point.
well, go ahead. I'm waiting to hear.
Well, okay, so
The audience is dying to hear.
all right, so we played at Deer Park, and my nephew came out, and it was his birthday, and I got this strawberry filled cake. And I don't know, they must have put like 20, I think you had a slice
That's
of it,
right, I
Mike.
did. Yeah,
Yeah, it was good cake, wasn't it?
Oh, that's great. Yeah.
And so we made friends with a lot of people because we had so much cake, we were giving it out to, you know. And we had one woman who joined our table, kind of became part of the family over there at Deer Park. And so fast forward to September, we're playing at Hey Nonny in Arlington Heights. And there was a hurricane warning that night, you know. And so, like, great, you know, hurricane warnings don't do a lot for, you know, like people going out to the club, you know. So we're thinking, oh, this is a, you know. So we've got about 20 people in the club, and then somebody says, well, hold on, there's a lady coming who has 30 people. And so we're like, 30 people? Who could that be? You know, who would be bringing 30 people? And so this bus pulls up from like the retirement community or something, and this woman who had hung out with us at Deer Park brought like the whole crew, you know. And she said, I promised them they'd get to meet the band afterwards. I said, well, we can work that out.
Was she disappointed you didn't have any cake?
Yeah. So Joe Rendon went around and, you know, met everyone. It was really
Oh
cool.
yeah. Oh, that's awesome, man. Look at that. Look at that, huh? You never know who you that's my whole premise, man. You never know who's in your audience, who you're going to meet. You know, you just
That's
never
right.
know.
Yeah.
That's awesome. Well, I mean, and you play in so many of these different settings, man. And then you play in the play you just put an album out, what, about 5, 6 years ago, I think, with your jazz quartet.
Right.
And you know, you're in all these different settings, but it's interesting because you brought up the fact that you wanted to do this acoustically, because you're right. Every time I see you play or when I've played with you're running through an amplifier. So if you're playing acoustically in a studio so that you don't need the amplification, you have drums and all that stuff, are you thinking of this any differently? Are you hearing it differently? Is it causing you to think creatively a little bit differently, or it doesn't even matter because you don't even focus
Yeah,
on that?
absolutely. You know, I think it totally does because let's face it, you know, the art of violin playing is one of the oldest musical art forms that you can go witness today, that's still being done the same way it was 400 or 500 years ago. I mean, Paganini lived a long time ago. You had Bach, 1685, who wrote the sonatas and partitas, which are still like the standard of the greatest thing you could play on the violin. So you know, and a lot of times you can't utilize that depth of tradition and culture and everything, because you need a certain amount of decibels to, you know, be heard above, a rhythm section and so forth. I mean, the one original kind of jazz form that involved a violin is gypsy jazz, you know, because the sound of gypsy jazz comes from that. And so sometimes it feels like this great legacy has to take a back seat, you know, because, okay, we need a hard bodied, you know, a fiberglass violin so we can plug it in and, you know, or we need to put, you know, and then you get involved with having to deal with all these issues, which is why I think it's difficult to transition to jazz violin. You know, I mean, because, you know, a person spends their whole life learning how to get a great sound and everything. And then, like, all of a sudden, that's not that important, you know. Right. and so I think that by doing it acoustically, you could give other musicians a chance to really hear, like, what the violin's capable of. And like, in the case of working with these different drummers, just interesting to see how they react to some of these subtleties that they might not hear otherwise, you know?
Yeah. You're right. It's interesting because I never thought of it that way, but you're right. And, you know, the fact that, the thing I always love, I mean, you and I played together, like what you said, like the first time you started playing jazz. But the thing that is interesting to me is because you brought up the classical element, and being able to play classical, you're playing straight. And I know that over the years, you've gotten more and more, you know, I remember you being very conscious about swinging and practicing the swing and getting to it. Now, you're swinging, you know, it's not even a problem. You're just totally in the pocket and all that stuff. But I remember there was that transition point, and a lot of classical players cannot make it, even if they really want to, just because they've been so ingrained in playing classical straight. Here's the notes. This is what it is. So outside of the improvisation, just getting that feel, you know, is really it's a difficult thing. That's why there's not a lot of jazz violinists, I would say, in the world, right?
Right. There really isn't not. And you know, I have people that want to study and so forth like that. And they'll come and they'll take one or two lessons and they go, oh, all right, forget it. You know, and they see what's, you know, if you really are going to try to emulate the language, like you're saying, and you're going to really swing and you're really going to spend some time with the metronome on two and four instead of one and three, you know, and learn how that affects, you know, your bow strokes and all that kind of stuff. But, you know, and that is certainly a part of it, you know, and that's certainly a consideration. And I think that contemplating, you know, how to interact with the drummer was like a big deal to me. You know, I mean, that was like, you guys were like, okay, this is the law. The drums are the law. You know, how do you navigate this territory? And so that's why I think, you know, I just have thought about this sort of thing a lot, you know, especially with drummers.
Yeah, but man, I remember those first gigs. And that's when you first got interested in jazz, or did you grow up being interested in jazz? I mean, obviously classically you were very interested in, but how did you end up becoming interested in jazz?
You know, it kind of goes back to like 1980, I think 90, meeting Johnny Frigo. It was like a few things happened that year. It was like I met Johnny Frigo, start to go hear him play. Edgar Gabriel and Bill Cronenberg asked me to be in this quartet that was doing the Turtle Island stuff at the time, which involved improvisation. And then I was doing these jobbing dates, and a couple people found out that I was willing to try to take a couple solos. So then it became like at least once every, you know, like strolling violin, at least, oh yeah, James, take a solo. And then it was like, shit, I don't know that song, you know? And I felt a certain pressure to kind of get a little better.
That's awesome. Well, you know, and then you and I mean, I remember when you called and Nick Schneider, who I had on the show on Friday, you know, we went and played at the DePaul Music Mart.
Nick was like a mentor to me, really.
Yeah.
I worked with his son, Eric, and Nick would take me aside and give me a few pointers, and, you know, and it was so helpful. He's a great teacher, just one of those guys that was really, really go out of his way to help you.
Yeah, he'd also tell it like it is too.
He would, but Nick would, Nick never wanted to step on anybody's dream,
Yeah,
it was great. And we used to be rehearsing with the Third Coast group, and he would say, well, I think that Jimmy should put like some like some shakers on his leg and stomp it or something so you guys can stay in time,
Yeah, he always had those helpful tips.
very practical,
Oh my
Yeah.
God. Well, we could tell Nick Schneider
I
stories
could tell
forever.
Nick Steiner stories all day long,
So you've got something coming up tonight too. You're performing with Gypsy. How do you say it? Is it Fumé?
Fumé, yeah, they have a live stream they're doing because they play at this place called Rogers Park Social Club on Mondays,
Yep.
and Christy Bennett runs that group, and they have a live stream they're doing 8 o'clock to 10, and it's on their website, I guess their Facebook page too maybe, but www.fumé.com,
Okay.
and so
We'll
that's
link that up, but
happening
you're
tonight.
performing with them tonight then?
Yeah, tonight I'm gonna be on the show. I think they kind of pass the stream around to different people,
Hmm.
So maybe I'll play a few tunes, somebody else will play a few tunes.
Oh.
We kind of go round robin or something like that.
Yeah, because it's difficult to, like, if you and I were playing together, there's a delay. So you guys are kind of passing
Yeah.
things along.
Yeah, and then Hot House is Hot House is doing a global platform, and we did a beta test on that on Saturday. So that's Marguerite Hordberg and Hot House, and so they're getting that up. And I'm not sure when the first launch will be, but it'll be soon.
Oh,
And
cool.
they've got people all over the world on that one: Satsuaki and Sylvia Bolognese and a lot of people. And then Fulcrum Point, new music project. They're getting a sound sphere going, on and they're gonna I know they're gonna have something going on this Wednesday, so
Oh, that's awesome. Well,
yeah.
everybody I've talked to, and obviously, you and I have talked over the years. You've been on a couple of these different video shows that I've had, but I think that because of what's happening now, it's kind of almost like a pause reset for the entire world. And I think in the music world, we're all figuring out this is all technology that, like to be honest with you, I mean, I had to figure this out. I just didn't have time to sit down and figure all this stuff out because you're always running, you're always doing
Yeah.
stuff, and
Yeah.
doing everything. Now everybody's figuring this stuff out. I think that in 60 days, when I think all of this is probably going to shake out and get a little bit more open and some of the clubs and venues are going to start opening up again, we're all going to be in a different situation from a technology standpoint. And I think more people are going to see your music. Because there's going to be these live concerts, these live performances, these video feeds happening on a regular basis. You're going to be able to reach a lot more people with your music. I think this is going to change the entire way music's promoted and created. I mean, what do you think?
I think you're hitting on something really big here. It's never going to be the same. This is a game-changing event. I mean, we're all in it together. You see people posting content who never posted content before. In the classical world, I see that, like, for example, the Berlin Philharmonic. They're ahead of this thing because they've had a digital concert series online for years now. And so they have an archive. And so, like in the case of an organization in the classical field, that orchestra made all their archives and all their streams available for free globally when this
Wow.
happened.
Yeah.
So now you have, they're the orchestra of the planet in a sense.
Yeah.
And I think so. I think it's the wild. I think it's the Wild West in a way, in the sense of so much stuff out there. But at the same time, for me, one of the things that's happening is when I go online, I can get overwhelmed because there's so much stuff.
Yeah.
So I'm looking for curated content in most cases. I go, well, okay, Mike Jeffers is on. Okay, because I know you, you know what I mean? I know what you're doing. And if that's what I'm looking for, then that's what I'm going to, you know, I'm going to, rather than do like, try 20 different things and find out what, which one I like, you know?
Yeah.
So I think that you're right. It's going to shake out a little differently. I think in the end, you know, if the work is good quality, you know, that's going to be important too, you know, that the fidelity is good, that the video is good, that, the music is well prepared. And then, you know, is it going to be curated? Is it going to be part of another platform? Because I think there's so much out there that you need to kind of know where to tune in. Because you're right.
Because when you get on Facebook or Instagram or even Twitter with Periscope, I mean, everybody's streaming everything now, you know, but there's going to be that point, but it still comes down to like, just like when you're in a club or a venue, it still has to be interesting and good. You know what I mean? I mean, right now there's a lot of stuff being thrown out, which I love. I love people just try it, man. Just, I mean, look at what am I doing here? I'm an idiot with like a camera sitting in his, you know, den. Doing a streaming show, and people watch it, but I'm able to connect with people, but I'm working things out. I think that as people figure this out,
I think you have to give yourself a lot of credit. I mean, you've been at this a long time. I mean, you know, you've been at the forefront of promoting jazz in Chicago, probably have done more than anyone I know as far as, you know, bringing the jazz community together. Right. So you've been doing your homework for a long time, you know, that I can see, you know. And so I think what it is to it. And right now you're willing to do what you have to do to take this to the next level that needs to be happening now. And, you know, I think everyone's all better off for it. So, I don't know. I give you a lot of credit. I've always admired, you know, your work and your vision that you've always had for a long time, you know.
Well, I appreciate it, you know, and that's the thing. I mean, it's, you know, you just got to keep doing it, keep working on it and figuring out your niches and figuring out things. Just like you with your new recording, you're figuring out new niches. You're always transforming and trying different things and sticking in the ones that you really enjoy and that really work. I mean, you know, it's part of being an artist, I suppose, right?
Right. You know, it's like Michael Jordan said something about failing or making the attempt, and, you know, and, you know, it's not like every single thing, you know, you do, you're going to think, okay, that was, but, you know, you got to go through this process of trying things in order to make the new discovery, you know, and you have to be willing to experiment and take a risk and put your resources on the line, you know, put your time on the line, and you can't play it safe here. You know what I mean? I mean, if you're interested in playing it safe, then don't be a jazz musician. You know, that's not what this is about. You know, and did you see the new Charlie Hayden documentary that's out there?
No, you're the third person that's told me about it. I've got to check it out.
Well, there was one scene in it where his dad, you know, he wanted his dad to desperately take him to the jazz club. And so he meets these guys and they say, he says, I want to be a jazz musician. They said, well, come to the hotel afterwards. So his dad says, I don't want to take you. Please, dad. So his dad takes him to the hotel. He walks in the room and he says, I want to be a jazz musician. And then they say to him, you want to be a jazz musician? Look at these guys. Look at each of these guys in this room. So he goes around the room. He goes, do you want to end up like these guys? And he says, yeah, I do.
Sound advice.
It's a great documentary. I loved it. It's called Rambling Boy.
Man, that's like that should be like the first, you know, you come in for a saxophone or drum lesson or something, you walk in, you got three jazz musicians in here. All right, I just want to make sure you know what you're getting into.
Yeah.
Just look at these guys right here.
Well, and you know, the funny thing too is when you get people that are traditionalists. Well, but that's not how you play jazz. You know. Really?
Well, you and I have talked about that too when we've done interviews. It's like, I think nowadays, you know, and this kind of goes back to your new recording and everything like that. It's like nowadays, people, at least, right? I run Chicago Jazz Magazine. I founded Chicago Jazz Magazine. I'm branching out into other genres of music. And I just don't see people coming in and saying, oh, yeah, that's jazz. That's jazz. I see more people going, oh, that's James Sanders. That's Mikhaya Makraven. That's Bobby Broom. Because all these different genres are melding together into everybody's playing now because we're all influenced by so many different genres. You can't just say, that's a bebop player because there isn't any bebop players anymore unless they're playing something from,
Right.
you know, transcribed. I mean, it's like, it's somebody's music now, don't you think?
I think so, you know, and jazz is about evolution. It's about in my feeling, you know, it's about evolution. It's about transcendent of styles. It's about a cross pollination. And I think you're right. I think it becomes sort of like, you know, well, what's your thing, you know? And like Fred Anderson used to say, you know, you never heard Fred Anderson say that he liked something or he didn't like something or whatever. If he didn't really love something, the worst thing he might say was, well, you know, they got their thing, you know. Maybe you're not, but hey, everybody's got their thing, you know, and I think that's important to
Did you ever
remember.
play with Barrett Deems?
I never had the pleasure.
Oh, okay. Because he wouldn't have said that. He'd just tell you that you suck. That
And you know, that's cool too, you know. I
Barrett.
mean, it's cool when people can be honest. I remember
Oh, man.
there was a band leader who was no longer around, but she was a very big band leader, and she had a strolling violin gig. So when you showed up for a strolling violin gig, you would oftentimes have one or two designated harmony players. So you'd have most people playing the melody, and then you'd have a couple people that had, you know, gotten it together on the harmony front. And so, you know, I went up to her before the gig because I was starting to feel pretty proud that I could play harmony and stuff. I went up to her before the gig and I says, "Do you want me to play harmony?" And she looked at me straight in the eye and she says, "I don't care." Do whatever you want, you know. And it was kind of cool that she could be so honest.
I just remember you got me thinking about this. Joel Spencer told me a story, man. Barrett's sitting there with him at the bar, and he's talking about some musician, and he goes, "Joel, the guy's got no time. He's got no chops. I hear he's broke, and nobody likes him." Other than that, he sounds great. It's like, oh my God. I gotta have Joel on. He could talk about Barrett Deems stories for the next 3 hours, man. Unbelievable guy. But anyways, all right, I digressed. So let's finish up. Where can everybody get the new recording? Is it out? Where can they hear it? What's happening with it?
Okay, so yeah, so the video's out. It's on, you know, it's on my Facebook page, James Sanders Violin, and it's on YouTube. I've got a YouTube channel. You go to my website, jamessandersviolin.com, and everything's there. Every recording I've done, video, the single's going to come out that will be available for purchase. And so I'll be, you know, sharing that as soon as that's been uploaded to the. They're a little slow. I think they're dealing with the virus over there at CD
Yeah,
Baby,
I can
but it'll be
imagine.
available on all the, you know.
Cool. And then we'll link it up. We're going to talk. We'll have it up on
Yeah.
ChicagoJazz.com and all that stuff too. So we'll have it all available.
Right, and I'll be releasing the other tracks in the next this week. I'll release another video with Sarah, and then maybe in a week or two the third one. So we'll just keep some content coming at you guys to keep you interested and happy in this crazy time.
Yeah, it's crazy. Crazy time. But hey, I'm glad you're putting out new music. And of course, offline we'll talk. Hopefully you'll be back at the Deer Park Jazz Fest this summer. And hopefully
Awesome.
we'll be able to have the Deer Park Jazz Fest this summer. That's a fingers crossed on that one. But we're planning for it the first weekend of August. So of course on Chicago Jazz Magazine and Chicago Music Reveal, we'll talk all about that when it gets announced. James and Conjunto will be back, I'm sure. So we'll talk about that. James, thanks for jumping on today.
And, thank you.
We will take a listen and keep an eye out for the new recording, man. This is exciting. I'm glad you're putting this stuff out.
Thank you. Thank you, Mike.
All right. And bye-bye. I really appreciate everyone chiming in today. It's been a pleasure. I'm glad James could jump on and be with us on the show. And I'm just shutting that off so that he doesn't have to listen to the end of the show. But I appreciate everybody watching, listening. Of course, if you have comments, make sure you leave them below. If you like what you're hearing, share this thing out. Let's get this thing out as much as possible. It's important to keep the whole community together here. Again, tomorrow I'm going to have Andy Shum from the Fat Babies on the show. We're going to do a Skype interview. If anybody has any questions or if there's any comments or anything that I need to know about performance-wise coming up this week, be sure to let me know, hit me up, give me the heads up so that I can promote that on the show the rest of the week. Again, tomorrow, 11:30, I always want to say 10:30, 11:30 a.m. tomorrow, Chicago Music Revealed. Thanks for watching. Stay safe. Stay healthy. Hopefully I'll see you on the scene sometime soon. But if not, I will see you tomorrow on the next broadcast.